I was reading in a book called Our God is Awesome. And it talks about all the characteristics of God and goes through all of them, or many of them, telling us how great our God is. He is awesome. And I was reading in the chapter on his character, the wrath of God. And as I've been teaching in the classes Sunday mornings on 1 John and talking about love and his grace and the salvation in Jesus and all the good things, I thought I needed to speak on the wrath of God. It's a topic we don't like to talk about, but it's a necessary teaching, because the wrath of God is one of his characteristics, just like any of his other characteristics. And it's interesting in the Bible, if you read through the Bible, you'll see it speak of the wrath of God more than it does the love of God. Because wrath is what we deserve. You know, you turn on, I get amused or disgusted maybe, at all the advertisements on TV, and they'll advertise this thing and then they'll say, you deserve this. You don't deserve anything. We deserve the wrath of God. That's what we deserve. And we need to understand God's terrible wrath against all evil. God judges evil because God is holy. God is just. Now, he takes no pleasure in judging the wicked. He'll tell you three times in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 18, 23, 32, 33, 11. He'll tell you those three things. Jehovah has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but would rather that they would turn that they might live. But he does bring death on the wicked because they don't turn. Psalms 18, speaking of God's judgment, he comes riding on the cloud, on the wings of the wind. And it says in verse 8, the smoke goes out of his nostrils and the fire out of his mouth devours. Our God hates sin, hates all iniquity, and his wrath is upon these things. When Moses, writing towards the end of all of his writings, when they're getting ready to cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land, in chapter 32 of Deuteronomy, God tells him to teach a song to Israel. Now in that song, in chapter 32, verse 39, he says, see that it is I, even I, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. God's wrath is coming upon all wickedness. His wrath was burning like a fire. He tells you, Paul tells the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we shall all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the deeds done in the body according to what we have done, whether they be good or bad. Judgment is coming. Now, God doesn't throw temper tantrums. He doesn't have fits of rage like undisciplined children sometimes do. But he has a burning wrath against sin. And we need to understand that burning wrath. We need to know what's coming if we don't do what God says, so that we can do the right things. Proverbs 1, 24 and following down through a few verses will tell us the wrath of God. He says, because I called and no man, and you refused. I turned out my, spread out my hands unto you, and no man regarded. You set aside all of my counsel and none of my rebukes, and would receive none of my rebukes. I also will laugh in the day of your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes upon you, when your fear comes as a storm and your calamities as a whirlwind, and distress takes a hold of you. Then will you call unto me, and I will not answer. You'll seek me diligently, and you will not find me. for they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of Jehovah. God says the time's coming. In every one of our lives, the time's coming when He'll say, too late. Too late to flee from the wrath of God. People leave this earth daily crying, don't let me die, I'm not right with God. And they die. What happened? God says, they called, I don't hear. They seek after me diligently and they won't find me. We cannot mock God all of our lives and think in the last minute we can call on God. Maybe we can, but maybe we can't. Baptized a guy in Thailand 2 years ago. The next day he died. God heard his prayer. But we can't mock God forever and expect God to fall over backwards and just accept us after we've blasphemed his name all of our life. The character of God is seen in his wrath. We see it in Romans 11:22. In Romans 11:22, it says, behold the goodness and the severity of God. Unto them that fail, severity. But unto you, God's goodness, if so be you continue in his love. Otherwise, you'll be cut off. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. To those that fail, severity. The word severity is a noun. But the verb of that word means to cut off. So he says, behold the goodness and severity of God. To them that fail, cut off. But to you, God's goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you will be cut off. God's wrath against sin is shown. And it's not just an Old Testament teaching. Through the Old Testament, people say, I want the God of the New Testament full of love and grace. They missed the point. God does not change. Malachi 3:6, I, Jehovah, change not. Jesus stands in a synagogue with a man with a withered hand on a Sabbath day in Mark 3. And he says, is it lawful to do good, to heal, or to kill on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And Jesus looked out amongst them with anger in his heart because of the hardness of their heart. Jesus is angry against sinfulness, against the hardness of the heart that doesn't receive and accept our Lord Jesus. John the Baptist, as he prayed, as he prepared the way for Jesus to come, when he's out there preaching, Matthew 3, he sees the Pharisees, verse 7, he sees the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming, and he says, you offspring of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? There's wrath coming. There's wrath upon this world for its wickedness. He said, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? In John 3, last verse of that chapter, 36, he says, he that believeth on Jesus, on the Son, he that believeth on the Son has eternal life. But he that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God dwelleth upon him. Take heed to your life. The wrath is coming. God's wrath is coming. If you read on through the Bible, you get to the book of Revelation, you talk about the wrath of God often. In chapter 14, 9 through 11, he talks about judgment on emperor worshipers. And he says in verse 10, he says he'll drink of the wine of the wrath of God unmixed in the cup of his anger. Wrath comes. That's talking about destruction of Rome, who's persecuting Christians. But God's wrath comes on wickedness. He says in the same chapter over towards the end, probably verse 19. He says, send forth the sickle and harvest the vine and put it in the winepress of the wrath of God. Trample the winepress. That's the winepress of the wrath of God. And the blood will run out of the winepress to the bridle of the horses for 200 miles. You think God doesn't have wrath against wickedness? Chapter 15, it's It's a big long chapter, 7 verses. And that whole chapter 15 is getting prepared for the total destruction of Rome. And the cherubim hand out 7 bowls of the wrath of God to the 7 angels that's going to pour them out. And he says, and he sends them forth with the bowls of the wrath of God and says, and this is the end and fulfills the wrath of God. He pours out, they pour out 7 bowls in the end. Where's Rome? Just a smoke coming up out of the earth. God has wrath against wickedness. God's goodness. A while ago, ATM read Nahum chapter 1, 2 through 6, and talks about God's wrath. He's talking about the destruction of Nineveh there. And how God's wrath is going to burn like fire. But if you look at the very next verse, he says, Jehovah is good. Because Jehovah is good. It's because of his goodness that he has wrath upon wickedness. And he can't tolerate wickedness. Goodness is not only positive showing love, goodness is actively fighting against wickedness. It's not enough just to do good things. We have to put down evil things. That's what God does. And that shows up in his wrath. His goodness is shown towards his saints. Because God's goodness takes his saints out of the wickedness. In 1 Peter 3:20, it's talking about the flood of Noah. And it says that these 8 people were saved by water. The water wasn't dangerous. The water was saving them from all the wickedness of the world. God's wrath was judging the world in its sinfulness, and he saved saints out of that wrath. Even Lot, who we don't think of being too holy, Lot and his family down in Sodom, God sends angels down there to check what's going on. They're a bunch of Sodomites. That's where we get the word from. They're a bunch of Sodomites. The men came wanting to know sexually the men that came in there. God removes Lot and his family. Of course, his wife, who leaned back, she liked that stuff. So she leans back and turns into a pillar of salt. But Lot and his 2 daughters got out of there, and God sent fire and brimstone and wiped Sodom and Gomorrah off to where you can't even find it today. God has wrath against wickedness. We need to know God's nature. We need to know his nature both sides and make sure where we stay. He judges in righteousness. Psalms 45, 6 and 7, I think, said, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And the scepter of equity is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, thy God, has anointed thee above thy fellows. That's quoted in Hebrews 1 also. He loved righteousness and he hated iniquity. God's wrath comes down on iniquity. He shows us his justice by his wrath. God, as I said, he doesn't get mad and just blow up. God has a continual wrath against sin. He burns in wrath because all sin is against God and against his nature. We need to look and know the nature of God. Just as John 3:16, which we all know, God so loved the world. His love calls action. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have eternal life. For he sent not his Son into the world to judge it, verse 17, but that the world may be saved through him. God demonstrates his goodness and his love, but he also demonstrates his wrath against wickedness. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hinder the truth in unrighteousness. God doesn't blindside us, letting us be ignorant of his wrath. He tells us of his wrath. He shows us his wrath so that we can flee from the wrath of God, so that we can find the place of safety. God's wrath is seen today. All the judgments that God sends, all the floods, all the droughts, all the volcanoes, the earthquakes, all the tsunamis, all the typhoons, all the hurricanes. Where'd they come from? Well, you listen to our news media, that's Mother Nature. And they miss the whole point. They stand in total darkness because they miss the point and the purpose of those things coming. It is not Mother Nature. Where did nature come from? God created nature, and God uses nature. Well, it's nature doing it, but it's because God's using nature to show his wrath against wickedness to get people to repent. Isaiah 26, 9. When thy judgments are in the earth, the world learns righteousness. And that's what God sends them for, to get man to wake up. He sends wrath in judgments. South part of the United States, across Texas, been so dry they couldn't plant a seed for a couple of years. And overnight they get 16 inches of rain and it drowns half of them. Nature? God is full of wrath against the wickedness of our nation. We're full of wickedness. And he sends all those wrathful judgments for the purpose of getting us to repent. After the Trade Center towers came down, where were people congregating? Any place they could to pray. Places where prayer was forbidden, they were gathering to pray. Listen, when his judgments are in the earth, the world learns righteousness. And that's the purpose of him. And God says, it's not Mother Nature doing it. God says, I do it all. God says, I'll take credit for all of that. In Ezekiel 14, speaks of his four sore judgments. He speaks of each one separately, and then he sums up in chapter 14, verse 21. He says, how much more when my four sore judgments are on Jerusalem, the sword, the famine, the evil beast, and the pestilence to cut off man and beast. God said, I have four sore judgments. The sword, this wars and all the shootings and the wars going on. The famine, God's use of famine, of all natural sources that God uses to judge people. Evil beast and pestilence. All kinds of diseases. God sends them to get our attention. And are we listening? He sends them so we can repent. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather they would turn that they may live. That's God's desire. Because God's love is great, but God knows he is just. And a just God will send judgment on wickedness. Wickedness will not stand. In Isaiah 45, speaking of Cyrus, the king of Medo-Persia, when he's talking about before he's ever born, and he's talking about he's going to destroy Babylon and turn the Jews loose to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. But when he says that, he says, Cyrus doesn't know me. Cyrus doesn't know him. Cyrus and the Medo-Persian Empire is just an axe in God's hand to destroy Babylon and to do God's will. And he says in verse 7 of that chapter, 45, he said, I form light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I am Jehovah that doeth all these things. He's not talking about evil as sinning. He's talking about bringing evil by just destruction. God said, if there's a city destroyed, I did it. Amos 3:6, has evil ever befallen the city, and I didn't do it, saith Jehovah? People that don't know God can't read a newspaper with any understanding. Because all these things happen because God sends them because he loves us enough not to just let us run headlong into hell. He's trying by showing his wrath to get us to repent and come back to him where we're safe from the wrath of God. His wrath goes forth, and His wrath is shown. It's not something that He hides. If you go back to Romans 1, where we started in verse 18, and read on through that, in verse 18, He says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hinder the truth and unrighteousness. For that which is known of God is manifest in them, for He manifested it unto them. And the invisible things of Him from the creation are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that were made, even His everlasting power and divinity, that ye may be without excuse." No excuses. He said, "I sent my wrath. I put God in your heart." Men are incurably religious. No matter what they're believing, they're incurably religious. "And my creation," if you got eyes and ears or anything to know of my creation, God says, "You are without excuse." And He goes on to write there, we're in verse 20 now. He says that knowing God, they glorified not the God nor gave Him thanks, but they came vain in their reasoning, and their senseless heart were darkened. And they professed themselves to be wise. Look at our universities. They professed themselves to be wise. They become fools. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the likeness of the image of corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And you think God doesn't have wrath? When they mock God, when mankind mocks God like that? So what does God do? In verse 24. He says, "Wherefore I gave them up to the lust of their hearts, unto uncleanness, that their bodies may be dishonored amongst themselves. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." When you see people following after the lust of the flesh, as 1 John 2:15 says, 16 rather, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life. He said He gave them up to the lust of their hearts. He's talking about idolatry. Anything that comes between you and your service to God is idolatry, whether it's your job, whether it's your pleasure, whether it's your lusts, or whatever it is. If it gets between you and your God, verse 24 is talking to you. He gave you up to the lust of your flesh. You follow after the things you want. You exchange the truth of God for a lie, and you serve the creature rather than the Creator. For which cause, verse 26, for which cause God gave them up to vile passions. For their women changed the natural use to against that which is unnatural. A while ago I said something about the fact that nature, God's nature, is the standard. Nature and natural are pretty close words, huh? Anything that's unnatural is because it's against the nature of God. And these women changed the natural use into that which is against nature, homosexuality. And likewise, reading on, and likewise their men, leaving the use of the natural use of women, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, doing that which is unseemly, and receiving the recompense of the error which is due. When our society legalizes sodomy, for which God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, we fall into the pit of the cup of God's wrath. And God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He's in the process of destroying us. You can't stand before the wrath of God. You can't stand. We have one of our representatives now is a supporter of sodomy, same-sex marriages, says it's such a good thing. You think God's wrath is a smoke? You think smoke's not going up from His nostrils and fire out of His mouth is going to devour? Verse 28. because they refused to have the knowledge of God. God gave them up to a reprobate mind to do the things that are not fitting. They fill themselves with unrighteousness, and it goes on down and lists all the unrighteousness that the worldly people do. And he ends it in verse 32, saying that they knew the ordinance of God, that people who do such things are worthy of death. But they do the same things and consent with them that does them. He's drawn a circle around our nation. And you read through the Old Testament and find what God does to nation after nation after nation when they get to the degradation that we're at today. God's wrath is coming. It has already started. His wrath is not only now, it will be through all eternity. Through all eternity. Romans 2. Romans 2, 1 through 16 talks about the principles of judgment. And in 4 through 6, he'll say, despisest thou his goodness, forbearance, and longsuffering, knowest thou not that his goodness leadeth you to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up yourself wrath in the day of wrath, in the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who shall render unto every man according to his works. Storing up, it's just like having an expense account. You're storing up God's wrath. Every day, every evil thought, evil word, evil actions, you're storing up wrath. His goodness, his forbearance, and his long suffering is to lead you to Christ, to repentance. If we follow after the hardness and impenitent heart, no, we're treasuring up wrath. And that wrath will flow upon us. In Psalm 7, verse 11 says, God is a righteous judge, and he has indignation every day. If a man turn not, he'll whet his sword. He has bent his bow and made ready. He has prepared for him instruments of death, and his arrows are fiery shafts. God says it's coming. When we sin, that bow's just drawn back a little further. And when it gets drawn, he's going to let that arrow go. His wrath will be full. And it'll be not only present time, but for all eternity. Luke 16:19-31. The incident of Lazarus and the rich man. You know the story. We don't need to relate the story. But look in verse 23 and 24. So being in Hades, the rich man, being in Hades, being in torments. You notice I put an S on the end of that word. Torments is plural. Not just one torment. He's being tormented with torments. And he lifts up his eyes and sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he says, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, he'll dip the tip of his finger in the water and touch my tongue, for I am in anguish in these flames. Of course, he answered, you know, there's a great gulf fixed between you and me, and no one can pass from that side to this side. You see, when it comes to death, there'll never be a change again. We have life one time to prepare for to face God. One time, when death comes, it's over. There'll be no more chance. The terrible thing, that rich man crying in the agony, in the fires of hell, is still there today. That's been 2,000 years ago since Jesus related that incident. And he'll be there for all eternity. And if you notice, he looked up and saw Abraham and Lazarus there. So in the fires of hell, we can see, we can feel, and we know what's going on. And you're going to look at heaven and see that which you'll never have. And you'll know Maybe the hell of all hells is the fact that you'll know that someone in your life pled with you to leave the wrath of God and come to the umbrella of Jesus Christ. And you refused, and you'll spend eternity in the wrath of God. His wrath comes, and it is forever, because we have despised His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering. We've stored up for ourselves, made treasures of our iniquity. His long-suffering, a passage we know well, 2 Peter 3, verse 9, God is not slack concerning promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's what God wants. That's what He desires. But if we make a mockery of it, and if we don't listen, then the end comes. We have to make a choice. Don't put it off. We have no excuse, which we just said, Romans 1, 18 to 20. No excuses. No excuses. Our clock is ticking. And when it hits midnight, it's all over. I don't know where your time is, huh? Mine must be pretty close there to midnight, you know. But when that thing strikes midnight, it's all over. There'll never be another opportunity to change anything. It is set from then forever. God gave the people in Noah's day 120 years. You know, when God shut that door on that ark and the rain started falling, the desperation in their hearts, yeah, God says, you'll call and I won't answer. You know they were knocking on the hull of that ship. You know they were climbing to the top of the mountains and probably at the top of the trees that's on the top of the mountains. God said, I'll laugh in the day of your calamity, because they blasphemed God all their lives and refused Him. When He called, no one answered. They would none of my counsel. Therefore, when they call, I'll not answer. We can pass the point where God will accept us. He put up with Israel for over 1,500 years. Brought them out of Egypt around 1446 BC. Put up with them till 70 AD. But the reading this morning that John read in Matthew 24 was just a few years before the axe came down. Just a few years. As John the Baptist said in Matthew 3, already mentioned verse 7, who warned you to escape from the wrath of God? And he says, the axe is already at the root of the tree. And every tree that brings not forth good fruit shall be hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with the water. The one comes after me, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, he will baptize you in Holy Spirit and in fire. For his fan is in his hand to thoroughly cleanse the threshing floor, and the wheat he will gather into his garners, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. He's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. Fire was coming. Fire is coming. The clock is ticking. We have once to die, and after that cometh judgment. God said, make a choice. Everybody that goes to hell will know they chose to go there. And nobody will get into heaven except they choose to go to heaven. Make a choice. Make a choice. Because God gave, I read in that thing, he said, the eternal God gave his eternal Son to pay the price for our eternal sin, that eternal people might live eternally with the eternal God. And if you scorn that, then you open the doors for the wrath of God. Jesus is our escape. The letter Paul wrote to the Thessalonian brethren, first letter, in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 9, he says, you turned unto God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for Jesus coming from heaven, who he raised from the dead, who delivered us from the wrath of God. Jesus is the only deliverance from the wrath of God. Romans 5, 8. God commended his own love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of God through him. It's only in Jesus that we can be saved from the wrath of God. He has prepared salvation for everybody. 1 Timothy 2:6, he gave himself a ransom for all. Titus 2:11, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation unto all men. 2 John 2:2, he is a propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but for the whole world. The pardon has been prepared for everybody on the world. Pardon. God says, I'll pardon you through Jesus. I was reading in that same article. I've read it before. But in 1829 in Philadelphia, a man named George Wilson robbed some mail, and in the process a man was murdered. And he was sentenced to hang. But his friends interceded to him, clear to President Andrew Jackson. And Andrew Jackson gave him a pardon. And George Wilson refused the pardon. And the sheriff was unwilling to hang him with his pardon on the desk. So he appealed back to the president, who pushed it off to the Supreme Court. And the chief justice, John Marshall, made a ruling that a pardon rejected is no pardon. And they hanged George Wilson with his pardon on the desk of the sheriff. Your pardon is already written. It's signed in the blood of Jesus. You're pardoned. Everybody's salvation is already paid for. All you have to do is come and get it. If any's not in Christ, there's nothing out there but the wrath of God, and it's coming. Your clock is ticking. Don't let it get to midnight before you come to Jesus. Your pardon is written. Come and get it. Be washed in the blood of Christ by being buried with him in baptism, and you can take that pardon before God, and before God you're as righteous as Jesus is. No wrath. And those of us may have fallen away, walked by the wayside, or whatever we did that interfered with our service to God, your pardon is still there until your clock ticks midnight. Come today. Receive the pardon prepared for you, and live eternally with the eternal God, and flee from the wrath of God while we stand.